Our next presentation is going to be on federal estate tax returns and personal representatives, which is something I'm eager to hear about because I avoid that topic usually, and I am probably messing up. Happy to introduce Nikki Lang, who's going to be speaking to us about tax returns and personal representatives today. Nikki hails from Texarkana. She's a graduate from Baylor University and got her JD from Baylor University School of Law. She's licensed to practice in Texas and Arkansas. She's a certified public accountant. And she's a frequent author and presenter on topics that interest all of us. So I'm very happy. Please help me welcome Nikki.
Hello, good afternoon. Over the past couple of years, can you hear me now? Okay, sorry. I typically end up speaking way too loud, so I was trying to save your ears. Oh, perfect. Okay, I'll rely on you for that. Louder? Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. Over the past couple of years, I've been introduced to a number of folks who were serving as personal representatives of a decedent's estate. And these folks had thought that they were just about wrapped up with the administration of their decedent's estate when they happened to become involved in a conversation with a CPA or a financial advisor, and the topic of the estate tax return, the federal estate tax return, came up. And after some discussion and in some cases a little bit of panic, these folks ended up in my office to find out more about the federal estate tax return. And for a number of these matters, an estate tax return was ultimately filed, either because, are you waving at me? Okay. Either because it was required by law, or because the personal representative chose to elect portability of the decedent's unused exclusion over to the decedent's surviving spouse. So I thought that I would put together some steps for, mainly for probate attorneys who don't practice heavily in the federal estate tax area, to use when approaching the representation of either a personal representative of a decedent's estate, or even when you're representing the surviving spouse of a decedent. And my intent is for this to be a very basic guideline for probate attorneys to use, or for those of you who want to stay as far away as possible from anything related to the estate tax. At least this can be a behind-the-scenes look at the steps that an estate tax lawyer might take when approaching a probate matter. Again, this is a basic outline, and for those of you out there who practice heavily in the estate tax, probably a lot of the things that I'll mention today, five exceptions will come to mind, and I'm aware of that. But again, this is just intended to be a very basic outline. So the federal estate tax return, Form 706, is going to be required when the combined value of a decedent's gross estate and taxable lifetime gifts exceeds the exclusion amount that's in effect in the year of death. And those are listed on this slide for the past few years. And this number, this exclusion that's in effect for the year of death, I'm going to refer to today as the filing threshold. So looking at this slide, for a person who dies this year, if that person's combined value of their gross estate and taxable lifetime gifts exceeds $12.92 million, then a federal estate tax return will be required. And the term gross estate has a very broad definition. It includes everything the decedent had any type of ownership in at date of death. And a couple of misconceptions that I've come across is I wanted to kind of clear up is, one is that the number that we're looking at, the value that we're looking at, is going to be the gross value of the asset without any regard to debt on the asset. So for example, if the decedent had a residence that was valued at $10 million, and the decedent had a $6 million mortgage, so $4 million in equity, the number that we're looking at is that $10 million gross value for this determination. Another thing to mention is that the beneficiaries are irrelevant. So it doesn't matter who's getting the item. So even if Everything that the decedent owned is going to the surviving spouse and qualifying for the marital deduction. That doesn't matter. We're still going to look at those assets and include the value of those assets in the gross estate.